Hello and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. I'll be your host, Dave Trumbor. Joining me today from the Washington, D.C. 5-0, Sean Paul Ellis. What's going on?
David. I'm great. How are you?
Not too bad. And the knocko from the Bay Area is Matt Barron. What's up, Matt?
David. I'm just copying Sean.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't just copy his intro, man. Come on now. You can be arrested for that in some states.
Ooh, here we go.
Yeah, we're getting into
it. Right with the Central Cops theme. Wonderful.
There's really not too much I can do to tie into this. So today, we are talking the 1988-89 DIC, or Deke Entertainment Series, Cops. Now
I feel like Deke should have been arrested for this.
Sean is getting off to an early start here with his disdain for this show. Now, I feel kind of bad because I suggested this one this week. From my childhood, I thought this one was pretty good. As we get into this one, we will reveal that it is not.
This is
one of those shows that we revisit, and it is not as good as we remember.
I have to say, I kind of love to hate it.
Well, that's
like,
good.
It was bad in a funny way.
I will 100% agree with it. Like, it was so off the wall bad that I was just like, I was enthralled to just see how many inaccuracies and just how poorly it was done. Which just blew my mind that, like, holy crap, like, there are so many episodes of this stupid show.
Yeah, and we should say right off the bat that don't confuse this with the reality TV series Cops.
With the I kind of wish we had.
Dude, the funniest thing, and we can get into this in the history, the funniest thing is that this animated show actually came first. It was, about a year or so ahead of the reality series. But then when the reality series got more and more popular, they had to change the name of the cartoon, obviously. So a couple years later, when it went into syndication, they changed it to Cyber Cops. So you might have seen it. Same exact show. They just syndicated it as Cyber Cops.
Just same terrible show. Terrible, terrible show.
But we're going to get into that in a second. Let me give you guys a little bit of history. Like I said, it was 1988 and 89 series. It was then syndicated in 1993 for CBS Saturday Morning Cartoons block, which fits in pretty well with the program here. COPS is an acronym. We all love acronyms. This one stands for Central Organization of Police Specialists. That's about as generic as you can get, I think. But.
Can I ask a question? Like, did anybody else hear them say that, like, during the theme song and think to yourself, like, oh my god, is that really what COPS means? Like, is it... Have I just thought that it was like a word all the time and I didn't realize it was an acronym? Like, am I stupid?
When I heard that, I also thought, oh my god, some police department is actually using this in real life. Like, this is happening right now.
Yeah, very much so. I don't know why they felt that. To answer my
question, I'm not stupid. This show is stupid.
Yeah, the show is very stupid. But everything in, like, the late 80s had to be anachronized.
An acronym?
An anachronistic acronym. Wow. Yeah, pretty bad. So it also has a toy line tie-in. It was tied into the Hasbro Cops and Crooks series. So that's where a lot of these bizarro characters come from, which we'll get into. That's actually probably why I remember this show fondly, because I just remember the characters and not any of the dialogue or plot or ridiculousness that was in the show itself. But yeah, there it is. One cool thing for fans of animation, especially fans of the show Aeon Flux, which we will probably talk about someday because I think it's still fairly obscure for a lot of people. South Korean artist by the name of Peter Chung was actually responsible for the character design, the opening title direction, which I love, and then also supervised the overseas animation on Cops. Did a number of other animated things, but was the creator and director for the Aeon Flux series. So when you go to look at Cops and you look at the characters, they have sort of these, like, weird angles on their faces and just, like, very... just kind of like stark expressions on their faces. Big eyes, very, very characteristic of his animation style. And you can see that again in Aeon Flux. It's not quite as angular as that, but...
I love Peter Chung's work. I mean, Aeon Flux on Liquid Television on MTV in the 90s was just incredible. And then he did a bit on the Animatrix.
Right.
And he also did the Chronicles of Riddick, like, animated movie that serves as, like, a segue between, like, the...
Yeah, like the interstitial
between, like,
chapters.
Pitch Black and Chronicles of Riddick, called Dark Fury, which is phenomenal to watch. Like, I love it. But, man, Peter Chung, like, you made a mistake, buddy. Like, you are an amazing artist, but not everybody is perfect.
Well, look, I'll tell you what. I'll give him props for the opening title sequence, which is pretty badass. And it ran, obviously, for the show's 65 episodes. So That was pretty memorable, and we'll talk about it. But as for what the show is actually about, I'm going to turn it over to Matt, who's going to give you a little bit of background.
Okay, so the synopsis, you know, and Dave, the tagline you sent out, fighting crime in a future time, protecting Empire City from Big Boss and his gang of grugs.
And that future time's coming up, 2020, y'all.
I know, and that's what kind of geeks me out. I was like, oh, God, 6 years. Like, this is – everything's going to be terrible 6 years from now. Like, there's going to be bad animation. The plots are going to take a turn for the worse.
Everybody's going to be a terrible trope of a police officer.
Exactly. It's just going to be like a really, like, low-budget rendition of, like, Blade Runner, I feel like, you know.
We're headed in that direction.
Great.
So says Cops.
So anyway.
Yeah.
So the Nexus 6 situation, but I digress. So, it was year 2020, place Empire City. So basically, the Mayor Davis requests federal assistance from the FBI, which I thought was a little weird. Like, if you're going to, you know, make this in the 2020 future, especially from, you know, writing this in 1989,
right.
You should have, like, there has to be something better than, you know, the FBI 40 years in the future if it's 1989. But it was focusing on Special Agent Baldwin Vess, it was just basically Cops, you know, except instead of reality TV show it was an acronym.
Yeah, but it was also just like crazy cybernetically enhanced, like biosuit cops kind of thing. Not as crazy as like Exosquad or stuff that we've seen, but not like a RoboCop, but pretty close. Yeah.
You know what it kind of reminded me of was Ape Man a little bit.
What is that?
I mean, it was if you remember on Saturday Anime on the Sci-Fi Channel, like back in the 90s, it was a lot of like cybernetic enhancement, not really Ghost in the Shell style, but sort of the same umbrella. It kind of reminded me of that. Like, the animation style was similar, so...
This to me would be like if you explained what the idea was for Ghost in the Shell and then someone pretended to understand it and then just made a show.
This was Ghost in the Shell.
Somebody walked in halfway through and said, oh, I got that, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, sure.
Stuff right now.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. So we should probably get into some of these characters because their names say it all. And like we've talked about on past shows for like 80s characters, their names, at some point, they don't even try. You know, whoever's dreaming up these characters, they don't even try. It's just for dumb kids. It's a really quick and easy name that their name describes exactly what they do and exactly what they look like. So it's kind of fun. So you want to go through some of the hero cops first, starting with, as Baron mentioned, Mr. Vess, V-E-S-S, Vess.
Baldwin Bulletproof Vess.
Oh, yeah. Bulletproof Vess, everyone.
That, I think the thing, I mean, the thing that's
happening.
Thing...
Wait a minute. I literally just got that. Holy crap.
Are you serious?
Oh, come on.
Jesus, dude.
Sorry.
While Baron collects his thoughts, maybe Sean will tell us why he's named Bulletproof Vess, other than the obvious pun, or not so obvious pun.
He's got a cybernetic torso that allows him to walk or some crap.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Again, cartoon logic. I don't know why your torso is needed to help you walk. Spine, I get. Spine makes sense. Legs,
so, like, if
you,
yeah, but you're, I mean, maybe spine, who knows, doesn't matter. I think the thing that's key with this is that, like, there are a bunch of different, like, cops, of these specialized cops.
Yes.
And, like, if you're super interested in learning all about them, either Google them or just watch to the end of the episode and they do, like, a major roll call and go through what everybody is, because there's just so many, like, there's so many characters that they have for this. They also do like a whole roll call of all the different crooks that are on it too. So, like, if you're really super interested, but just looking at this episode, the only people that, like, you need to really concern yourself with are Bulletproof, Long Arm,
who's probably my favorite.
I don't like any of them.
Yeah, I know.
I think I like Hard Top, and I'll explain
God
why.
God damn, how could you? Okay.
I'll explain why later. All right, so Long Arm is supposed to be like a beat cop. He's got like this like grappling hook, kind of like a bionic commando.
Yeah, he's got
thing.
The long arm of the law, my friends. The long arm of the law. It's a power cuff. So it's like a handcuff grappling hook combined. And there's one scene in a later episode where there's two of these cops side by side. They use no less than three grappling hooks, including the long arm of the law, which was just fantastic. We mentioned this on a, oh man, I don't even remember what episode it was now, but everybody had grappling hooks in the 80s. Every action hero had a grappling hook. So cops had three between two people. So there you go.
So there were three other major cops that were in this episode. There was Highway, which he obviously represents a highway patrolman. And then there was a guy that was named Mace, which
Mace was basically, and I read this in some comments, somebody was like really excited the fact that they figured out that Mace is basically Tackleberry from the Police Academy series, because he's like, he's really nervous around women, but he's kind of like a jackass just around the other cops, and he loves guns. He just loves big guns, so he's Tackleberry.
Yeah, he represents like SWAT.
Yeah.
Like special weapons and tactics.
He kind of looks like, the funny thing though, he looks like a hunter. Like he's wearing like orange, like bright orange vests and hats. He just looks like a hunter that just walked into a police station. Pretty strange.
And so then the guy who is the these people have like, these are all of their nicknames. We should preface this like everybody has like a specific nickname, and their nickname is like their job.
Right.
All right.
Except for Bullseye, flies a helicopter, and it makes no sense, but whatever. I digress.
Yeah, doesn't. So these people all have actual like character names, but they're just called by like their code name or whatever. And so the first episode, the case of the stuck up blimp.
Oh yeah.
It kind of follows that of one of the cops named Hardtop, who his real name is. Just wait for this because it's so perfect.
So good.
Donnie Brooks. Mm-hmm.
Donnie Brook. Did you get that one, Matt? You still with us on that one? The old Donnybrook? No? You puzzling through that one?
All right. All right. That's... Yeah. Mulling that over. So it's so many, like, so many cop ideas and jokes and inside jokes shoehorned in.
I'm surprised shoehorn wasn't a name of a cop on this show, actually.
Yeah, he easily could have been. So these are really the only, like,
old shoehorn Callahan, right?
If you're jumping into like this first episode, like those are the only cops that you need to really concern yourself with.
And the other guys are kind of like floating around the precinct. They're around the office. Like there's a couple lady cops kind of get, you know, rough treatment from these idiots. There's one guy who's like decked out in body armor and has a bionic dog for whatever reason. He's pretty cool too. But
I mean, he's just supposed to be the canine officer, like. You know, his name's Bowser, and he's got a dog named Blitz.
And one of the most random ones is probably this guy, Sundown. Now, I don't remember him from the show. I didn't watch any episodes with him, but he's basically a cowboy. So he's like a Wild West sheriff. He comes in, kind of like the handlebar mustache, the actual cowboy hat, bandana, the whole works. They have no dress code here at Cops. Sundown.
It did seem pretty casual.
Yeah, it's business cash. You know, wear your bulletproof vest, wear your hunting gear, whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you think about it, like, hey, look, whatever you want to wear to get the job done, that's what you can wear in Empire City. Like, there are no rules. Yeah.
No, there's literally no rules. And half the reason there are no rules in this stupid city is because Big Boss, the crime lord of Empire City, and his cronies have basically taken over everything. Like Matt said in the beginning, like, the mayor of Empire City was just kind of, like, fed up with it. He couldn't handle it with just, like, the regular beat cops. So he brought these idiots in. But the criminals are equally ridiculous.
It makes me think, like, how bad were the cops that were in Empire City?
Dude,
they were just like, ooh, like, they're not working out.
It was
like,
the same cops.
And
from,
I also feel like there was a pretty sharp tipping point there, you know, where there wasn't, like, any escalation process. It wasn't like, well, things are getting a little dicey. Cops can't really handle it.
Maybe we should head this off at the pass. Nah, yeah, just let it boil over.
Let's bring, like, just a couple FBI people in. Like, no, we need, like, full FBI bomb drop. Like,
yeah.
You know, there was absolutely no escalation.
I love
it. It was cops suck, FBI.
I love the vetting process for this, too. Like, what do we got? We got a guy with a cybernetic torso. That's good. He can lead the team. We got a guy with a really long handcuff. That'll work. That's fine. We got a guy who thinks he's a sheriff from San Antonio, so what the hell, we'll bring him in. Just like, what is this process here? What are you people bringing to the table? But it makes sense when you look at the crooks, because these guys are equally just ridiculous. You want to start with, like, Big Boss? It's probably a good place to start. Now, when you see this guy, you think like Punisher, or like, not Punisher, like Kingpin. Kingpin is something. You kind of think Kingpin, you think a little bit of a Godfather thing. He's got this weird cat-like creature on his desk. Yeah.
But he is like the worst, like, Bugsy Malone.
Oh, it's so bad.
We're going to be able to steal all the loot, see? Like, shut up.
That's terrible.
I also love that Crooks was an acronym, too.
Oh, I missed that. Was that for the toy line? What the hell did they make Crooks? You have to enlighten me with that one. Are you making that up? You making that up?
Wikipedia tells me that it is.
Crazy racist.
Please don't.
I should just stop. Let's just stop there.
Oily.
We'll come back with the second half of that in a later episode. All right. But no, the cops of Empire City are like the cops of St. Canard. Like they're equally as inept as the cops in like every other cartoon show we've talked about so far. So it makes sense that they kind of pit these idiots against each other and hope that they'll just like stay out of the way.
Okay, like I want to get into this topic as we're kind of talking about these Crooks characters. Okay, like one of the big taglines that they have for the show is fighting crime in a future time.
You got it.
All right, and I know that they peg the date as like 2020?
It's 2020.
2020. All right. Why are all of the crooks stuck in the 30s? Like they all say stuff like loot. And get your mitts up.
Get your mitts up.
Hold it there, cop.
It's very much like a Bugs Bunny, the Maroons kind of like way of talking. God. And they're very much. No, I like that, though. Because
Knuckle sandwich?
Knuckleheads.
Slap foot?
I like it, though, because it's that slapstick kind of character. It's that 30s kind of like Depression era gangster kind of vibe to most of it. But it's brought into like the 80s, 90s, well, technically 2020, with like the future tech. All right, so the future tech. I like that. It's terrible.
But I mean, like, the only future tech that is in this show is BP's chest.
And a handcuff. Don't forget the handcuff.
I mean, come on. I mean, it's tertiary at this point. It's like a stupid piece of nothing. It's really the only thing that they have that is like, actually, like, hey, we are in the future now.
Well, I'll tell you what, steroids.
Cybernetic.
Steroids have run rampant in here. So there's Big Boss, who, like, we already kind of explained him. You can probably have a good picture in your head of him. Now, like Sean mentioned with the cops, there's only a handful of cops you need to know for the first episode. There's only a handful of crooks you need to know for the first episode, and they are equally ridiculous. Their names are terrible. I don't know if they have actual names, too. I didn't see that. But their, like, tag names are awful. But there's basically, like, three henchmen that work for Big Boss. And these guys and they don't have real names. These are their actual names.
Yeah. They only want they have to most of them in some way have to be like alliterative. Like Brandon Big Boss Babble.
Yeah, but he's the only one. Nobody else has a real name, as far as I know.
Oh, well, I mean there's Turbo Two Tone.
Oh yeah, Turbo Two Tone.
There's Turbo Two Tone who's in this first episode.
Can you explain he's named Turbo Two Tone?
Yeah, because he's like he's always the getaway driver and everything, and so like he's turbo. He drives cars.
I get the turbo. I'm not getting the two-tone.
The two-tone. Yeah, the two-tone makes zero sense.
Like fashion, fashion thing.
No, if you're trying to read far into this, like
you always stop me from doing that.
Just stop it. Just knock it off. Like there's Buttons McBoom Boom.
Oh, don't even get to him. Yeah, don't get to him.
I feel like that's an actual like 30s crime era. Person that might have been actually real.
The best character on this show. Might be the best character on the show.
I mean, like, but
wait a minute. What about
Dr.
Bad Vibes?
Jesus,
Sean's getting so upset.
Sean is frustrated.
What was the name of that? What was the name of the creepy, like, organ exposed doctor from Botsmaster that we talked about? Because these two are basically like twins. They both have like weird, clear, like coverings over their organs. So like Dr. Bad Vibes' brain is exposed, and he wears, like, Elton John sunglasses for God knows what.
You were talking about Dr. Hiss?
Yes, Dr. Hiss. So, like, Dr. Hiss, Doc Terror, and Dr. Bad Vibes need to get together. So bad.
God.
So bad.
So bad. So in this episode,
the heavies.
Big Boss,
right.
There is Berserko, who always gotta talk like
this. Let that name sink in for a second, too. Berserko.
Berserko. He is evidently like he is the nephew of Big Boss. So like, you know, he only has this job through nepotism.
Right.
There's a dude who's like his actual name in this show is just Rock Crusher. Yep.
With a K. So I mean it's still
with
kind
a K.
Of
totally.
And then, that got like the whole bebop and rock steady I was like, yes, excellent port over.
I do have to correct this real quick. Berserko's actual name is Barney L. Fathering House, apparently. I'm going from Wikipedia, so who knows? Somebody could have just, like, written in whatever the hell they wanted. Rock Crusher's name is Edmund Scary, because of course it is. And Turbo Two-Ton's name is Ted Stavely, which is actually relatively normal for the show. So there you go. Very, very important information for you. So there you go.
So, I mean, again, there's, like, a whole ton of other crooks and other cops that you can read about. But these are the only people you need to concern yourself with this. For if you're deciding to make the mistake and waste 25 minutes to watch this first episode, these are the only jerks that you have to deal
with. I'll tell you what. Here, we'll save you. Now, we're going to talk about the episode for the next 10 minutes or so. But I will save you the trouble of watching this or even listening to us, whatever. But if you go and watch the theme song, which I want to talk about next, awesome. Awesome theme song, awesome title sequence. And then if you watch the end credits, skip the whole show, it just rolls through, like Sean said, the roll call of all the cops and kind of shows a little like action montage of them and the crooks, too. So you get to know everybody right at the end there. And it's great. And you only waste about 3 minutes of your time, and it's great. You get the whole sense of the show. Do you guys want to talk about anything else about the characters you want to mention before we actually move on to this first episode?
No.
Sean's ready to just roll through it.
Although I did get kind of a laugh out of Ms. Demeanor.
Ms. Demeanor is so good.
Yeah.
It's the cleverest.
I was just waiting
names,
for some kind of like felonious assault kind of poured over. But
that was like a Carmen Sandiego villain, you know?
Wait, was it?
I mean, it might have been. They had all those similarly named villains, but yeah. So Ms. Demeanor, just as a side note, she's like this middle-aged businesswoman, but is like a bodybuilder, like a female bodybuilder. And she just, like, in the opening sequence, she just lifts one of the cops' cars and throws it three stories in the air until it lands on, like an overpass. So that's what's going on there. So that's
dear God.
Yeah, good stuff.
But I digress.
Now, let's get into the episode itself. How do you guys feel about the theme song, which is pretty much all instrumental, and the title sequence, because that is 99% of what I remember as a kid.
I mean, again, like, Peter Chung, you know, directed this, and I mean, like, I mean, it does do a good job of, like, incorporating and putting, like, all these different characters together, right. So, like, if you're trying to get, like, a quick, like, summary of, like, how this show is going to work, and especially, like, what the specific skills of each cop, is,
right.
Then this does a really good job of kind of like filling you in on those details and giving you like a very quick summary.
Yeah, no exposition. You get to see it acted out.
Yeah.
And you just,
and
there's
I keep
some
having
jamming
like the
music
doo,
to
doo,
it.
Doo, 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 yeah. Like in the back of my head. Like,
it definitely sticks with you and it's awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's shot good. In like a really cool kind of way. It actually reminded me, I don't want to compare it directly, but it reminded me of the opening sequences for Batman the Animated Series. Very, very different style. But same kind of like that instrumental overture and that kind of like action-y tone. It gives you a real sense of what the tone of, in this case, this piece of shit is going
to
be.
I feel like I want you to take that back.
You want to take it back? It's a complimentary comparison because I do love the theme song and the title sequence. And then I was grossly disappointed when I actually watched a couple of these episodes.
Well, I mean, let's get into it. So yeah. This was the case of the stuck-up blimp.
Yes, and that's an interesting point because how do all of these episodes start?
They always start with BP just going like, this is the case of the stuck-up blimp. Yeah. And you're like, ugh,
He lists, on screen, there's like a manila envelope, manila folder, with a case number stamped onto it. So he reads that for whatever reason, because they're not in order. He's not like, this is case number one. He's like, this is case 2,676. And then he just, you know, case of the stuck-up blimp. And then he has some terrible joke.
Did anybody think for like 2 seconds that this was like a really sassy, like full of attitude blimp?
The blimp itself?
Yeah.
I didn't put that much thought into
it. It was a real stuck-up, like, catty blimp, and I was like, oh, why did they personify a blimp in this episode? And
I mean, people kind of stuck-up blimp.
I do kind of like the whole, like, future blimp kind of thing from the
blimps?
80s, you know? Yeah, you know, it was like the whole Zeppelin-style future with, like, oh, you know, planes are going to take a backseat to other different types of air travel.
Yeah,
dirigible. Exactly. Yeah.
But no,
like, you call it like a Zeppelin or something like that. Like there was
stuck-up Zeppelin didn't sound quite the same. But I do like the titles. I love how they work these like terrible, terrible puns in here because obviously it's a stick-up robbery. But then, like Sean said, stuck-up. So yeah, he's joking about the blimp. But I mean, this thing is populated with like the hoity-toity blue bloods of Empire City,
correct.
Which.
Correct.
we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, because what do the crooks need to do first before they can think about robbing this?
They start off, like, as Dave, as you said, like, yeah. BP starts off with that little bit of exposition. Oh, he just goes, this was a daring robbery, even for Big Boss.
Dude, and he's got the guy
in the light of day. And I was like, wait, if you watch the episode, you realize that the robbery takes place at night.
So I don't know why these details bother Sean.
Inconsistency number one that drove me bananas. I watched this episode twice, and when I rewatched it, I was like, God, I hate you, BP. Like, you are, like, here's the thing. If your job is to accurately report that in a report because you're a police officer representing the FBI, you've made a grievous error.
Yeah, and he's in charge of the whole thing, by the way. Like, let's keep.
You stink.
He's in charge of everything. Who's running this show? Yeah.
Nobody's running this show whatsoever.
It's their first time out.
It's possibly the worst mismanaged police department in the history of crimes.
Yeah, because after 65 episodes, they don't manage to actually, like, subdue any of these people. They just keep breaking out and doing more crimes. So there you go. So we already mentioned that Big Boss is kind of like, obviously, the big boss of the show, and he wants to pull off a heist, which is, you know, robbing everybody that's on this blimp. So what is his crazy cockamamie scheme?
Do it in Big Boss's
voice. Yeah, see, we're going to rob that blimp, see? Yeah. And he's got this, this like, creepy, weird cat thing on his lap that is later revealed to be a robotic flying weasel, which I'm not even making that up. I don't think I could.
Scratch.
Named Scratch.
For real.
Robotic flying weasel. So there you go.
So dumb.
Now, Sean, maybe this is a good time for you to tell us about your buddy Hardtop and why you like this character, who I absolutely loathe.
Oh, well, let me get into it in just a little bit. I will say that the reason that I enjoy and that I really like Hardtop, and I'll begin to, as we talk about the episode, cite those specific examples, is that he is just like a manic depressive. I mean, he just like, he fucking hates himself. Like, he fucking hates himself and just, like, anything that's around him. Like, he's like that guy that you're just like, hey, really nice shirt. And just be like, it's not my favorite. And like, it's just, shut up, Eeyore.
He's the Eeyore, exactly. He's the Eeyore of the group.
Of this dumb show.
I don't know, does he have any, like, actual, he doesn't have a long cuff, he doesn't have a bulletproof chest. What does he do? Does he do anything other than just moan all the time?
He just complains. He's like the constant complainer of everybody that's in this group.
Well, that makes sense. Why
he's
you
unnecessary?
Like him, right? Okay, now I get it.
Wait, what?
Wait, huh? Continue.
Yeah, but he really doesn't have like
any friends.
He has zero. He has like this weird gun thing that's on his hand, like that's on his arm. Like in the first like scene, he has like this like it looks like a little pistol. That's on his arm, and when you see that, like, when you see that Berserko and Turbo Two Top are robbing it, like
let me just correct that because I need to correct that because it's not for listeners at home. It's not Turbo Tube Top. It's Turbo Two Tone. That's a very different show. That is like the Rocky Horror picture version of this show.
I was just kind of thinking, what kind of world would a Turbo Tube Top exist in?
Probably the same world. Let's be honest.
So the cops are going.
That does kind of fit pretty well.
So the cops are going to like this charity event, and so Hardtop is picking up a tuxedo, and he's walking out of the tuxedo store, and this fancy gentleman comes out, and he's like, "Officer, you forgot something. No tux is complete without a top hat," and like drops it on top of his head, which is inconsistency number two, because he never wears that top hat when he gets to the
I'll tell you what, this entire tuxedo subplot was like the one thing that stuck with me, because they never come back to it again. So Hardtop goes in there, gets his tux, gets accosted by this very friendly tuxedo shop owner, at which point the three heavies show up, because they have to get their own tuxes too, right?
Well, it was just the two of them. It was just Berserko.
Oh, it was only the two and then
the Rock Crusher didn't come with them on this one. I don't know why I'm like defending them. Like I don't either. This is dumb.
Like, I don't either.
No, but like, what was it? Hardtop is outside, and like, he's just like, oh, these people look familiar, but like, he doesn't ID them like based on. I mean, like, these crooks are not hiding in any way, shape, or form.
No, they're basically wearing their former like prison costumes. They're prison uniforms. Like, you might as well just, like, walk out in, like, the arm shackles and chains and just have, like, a sack of, you know, money with a dollar sign and a mask on.
The character Rock Crusher basically does. Yeah. He's wearing like the black and white striped. Yeah,
we're not making that up. Like, that's what they're wearing.
And he has manacles like on his wrists. Like, you know, these guys aren't trying to be criminals. They're basically trying to get put back into the system.
The worst part is,
this show is more of like a desperate cry for these guys to be like, look, I was released on bail. And I honestly cannot deal with the stresses of the outside world. Like, keeping a job is challenging. Keeping up with personal appearances and relationships is challenging. If you put me back in prison, things will make much more sense to me. Please lock me up.
Because we really just kind of have that Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, that is the – oh, my God. That is a very generous comparison.
Every single one of these jerks. Like, just – terrible.
Well, that would have been doing way better cop work than Hard Top was, because how does he actually ID these idiots as they're stealing tuxes?
He punches in an ID code into his computer that pulls up, and he's able to immediately identify them and just be like, oh, these are crooks.
His car goes through this bizarro face matching scheme where it splits the face into three bars, almost like a slot machine, and it matches their eyes with their nose with their mouth until it comes up with both of these guys' identities. And he's like, oh, Rock Crusher and Turbo Two Tone. It's like, or whoever it was. Yeah. Berserko and Turbo Two Tone.
Turbo Tube Top.
Turbo Tube Top.
Turbo Tube Top. So, they go through this whole, at that time when he finally identifies them, they rob this tuxedo store that Hard Top had just come out of. Here's the thing is that, Hard Top's not hiding, and Berserko and Turbo Tube Top aren't hiding either. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, might as well.
So, they're not hiding. Nobody's hiding in this whatsoever. Nope. Hard Top identifies them. They don't see a cop standing outside of the place because they remark on it later, and they're like, what are the chances that the one tuxedo place that we hold up, it has a cop outside?
As they're like running.
Are you fucking kidding me?
But this is great because we get to see our first cops and robbers chase since the opening title sequence 30 seconds before. So that's a lot of fun. We get to see them kind of parkour their way across some building tops.
Across the building, which is where you find out that Hard Top, he's deathly afraid of heights.
And this is where I kind of gave up and realized that my childhood was wrong and I was remembering it incorrectly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was
quite
wrong, dude.
It was very wrong. Very wrong on so many levels.
And they do this fun 80s Vertigo music where it's like whoop, 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 whoop. It's just it's so bad. So he chases Hard Top chases them. They manage to escape, and before they escape, does anybody remember what Turbo says to Berserko?
Oh my god, I can't even honestly. I should have written their dialogue down because it was all terrible. It's all these awful one-liners and puns.
I might have fast-forwarded through that part.
It's probably a good idea.
It's perfect. They are in earshot of the cop. It's not like they're trying to have an aside or a duck blind in any way. Turbo just looks at them and just goes, "We got to go rob a blimp." Or we got a blimp to rob.
Oh, yeah. He straight up tells them their plans. So he doesn't do any cop work. He punches in.
Nobody puts that together as well.
It takes him a very long time.
I just got a tuxedo for a blimp event tonight. Blimp to rob.
I wonder if there's a connection. Massey. Yeah.
So, this was the best. This is the funny thing. I don't know if you guys noticed this. Yeah. Is that between the moment where Turbo and Berserko leave Hard Top stranded on top of this building, scared of heights.
Right.
There is a very special wipe that goes between those two scenes that I didn't see in any other of the episodes that I watched.
Really? Is it the badge?
It's the badge, but there's this sensual kind of voice that just goes, cops.
That's right.
Cops. What the
I forgot
hell
about that.
Is going cops on? It doesn't happen in any, I've watched two or three episodes. It didn't happen in any of the other episodes, but it just goes, it's like a star wipe with a badge, and it just goes, cops.
It was that chick from Bots Master that was doing the sexy voice the whole time.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Lady Frenzy.
Lady Frenzy would have worked in perfectly with these villains that they have here. It would have been perfect.
So, they transition back to, the cops' home base.
Through this sexy badge wipe. Yeah.
Through this, the cops. And so they, if we haven't convinced you at this point that these are, not only the shittiest cops in the world, all right? It cuts to Long Arm.
Back at the station.
Back at the station with his legs up on a desk, and he's playing Arkanoid on a computer. He's not doing any work. Like, they're all sitting around like, oh, what are we going to do today? Maybe fight some crime. Who knows? Like, they're not doing a fucking thing. Like, these guys just, I'm so angry.
But on the plus side, we do get to find out more about Hardtop's man pain. So that's always fun.
Which this is the best part is that
you love this show. You secretly love this show.
No, I agree with Baron. Like, this show was so bad that I did enjoy parts of it. Like, I enjoyed looking for these inaccuracies. And Mace just goes at one point. Hardtop is very excited about going on this charity event.
They're going undercover to the charity event.
Reporter Whitney Morgan.
Oh, she's a cutie.
She is evidently the best looking reporter. Cops. Yeah.
Cops.
She's a super sexy reporter. She's the April O'Neil of Empire City. Yep. And she is she's gonna be there. And so Mace is like giving Hardtop has given Mace Mace is giving Hardtop a hard time, and he goes, I heard Whitney Morgan only goes for big tough cops in uniform. And this is my favorite line of the whole episode where Hardtop just turns and he goes, I guess that leaves me out.
It's just like he's just got this gray cloud that just rains down over him.
Before the bash wipe, he was a big, tall cop in uniform. Like, he was on top of a building. Granted, he's scared of heights, and he's a little bit upset about that. But, I mean, like, he fits that to a T. And he is a gentleman, you do find out later on.
He is quite the gentleman, yes.
Yes.
Quite the gentleman.
You know, Sean, it's kind of funny that you bring that up, because that kind of hits, like, the nail on the head for some of these inaccuracies, because it's like, you know, something happens in, like, scene B that directly contradicts the thing that happened in scene A right before it.
Oh, yeah.
So it was kind of like, you know, when you're looking at, like, an episode, like, you know, start to finish, did anybody talk to each other during the production of that episode?
I mean, I think people wrote this as like a one-line story, just like passing it around the room. They're like, you add to it, but don't read what was before.
Well, in case in point, so now
it's that and then.
Dave, I know exactly what you're
saying. So now to this point, we've talked about there's a lot of stuff revolving around tuxes, right? Like, you think the rest of the show going forward would involve at least tuxes in the frame at some point. So,
I mean, they pulled off a successful tux caper.
Yeah, great. I mean, great. Job, crooks. Terrible job, cops, because you guys are already down one because they stole a bunch of tuxes. Well, we cut to these crooks who are now, like, getting ready to board the blimp, or they're on board the blimp, and they're ready to rob everybody. Cut to the night, even though it was a daytime robbery, according to Bulletproof Vest. And
the worst.
The three thugs are in there now, and they're just like, man, Big Boss had a much better plan than them stupid tuxes. Now we work for the caterers. And it's just like, well, what the fuck just happened then? You went through all of this for the last 10 minutes, steal these tuxes, make fun of Hardtop, and elude him on the rooftop chase just to throw the tuxes out and just go in for the catering instead. So,
and 2 seconds later, they crap on Hardtop again because he's in the elevator going up to the
This was the best piece of police work by Bulletproof Vest. He looks over at Hardtop, who looks like he's about to vomit his dinner up, and he's like, how long you been scared of heights? And it's just like, wow, well done, detective. You are clearly...
No, but I mean, do you remember the line that he said? Nope. He goes, how long have you known? And he goes,
how long have you known?
I can tell. He goes, I can tell by the fear in your eyes. Shut up.
Of all the damn things, you didn't know that these guys were going to...
Cybernetic eyes.
And he's got shades on, too, so who even knows? Yeah. You didn't know that these three thugs and Big Boss are going to rob this blimp full of rich people, even though they flat out told you, we got a blimp to rob. But you do notice that Hardtop has been scared of heights for a very long time, only in this instance. So that's good to know. That's good police work there. So these goobers, who is it? It's just Bulletproof Vest and Hardtop, right? That's pretty much it.
Rock Crusher.
No, because on the cop side.
Oh yeah. It's just the two.
So it's just those two, and then the other three are getting ready to
Berserko, Turbo, and Crusher, Rock Crusher, right?
Who stick out like a sore thumb in this place. So everybody there is like, you know, millionaires or billionaires or whatever. They're all walking around like showing. I love the montages of showing how rich they were. because they're like showing off all their jewelries. There's literally a scene where a guy just opens his wallet and thumbs through about $1 million worth of bills for like
insane.
5 seconds. I don't know how he got that many in there. Insane amount of money. So they're basically just acting
that wallet,
like
that wallet like defied physics in terms of like the billfold that was inside.
You
of
could
it.
Make
like,
it was
the classic George Costanza wallet.
It very much was. Just instead of coupons, it was just $100 bills. Yeah, constantly. You can make an endless GIF of that, and it would just go on forever. Have all the money you ever need. But my God, then it runs through like, well, okay, let's get to the meet cute of the reporter and Mr. Hardtop here. He has a hard time with the with his little meat cute.
Right. So like so Whitney Morgan is asking a wait staff person who is being played by Rock Crusher like what the sandwiches are. And she asks like what he's serving and he doesn't know and he doesn't care. He just wants to eat these sandwiches.
He's not
and,
a very like, convincing
and
caterer.
And,
he's just like
and yeah, he's not.
What do
and
I look like?
He just wants the case to join.
Yeah.
And like what was it? And so he kind of like brushes off Whitney Morgan and then Hardtop is just like, hey, she wanted to know what you're serving. And he goes, yeah. I'm not serving anything. I'm on parole.
Which was, like, that was a great line. Great line. I loved it. I love that line. That might've been the smartest bit of writing in the entire series, but yeah, that was good stuff.
Don't give him any credit.
Yeah, give him all the credit.
They have this interaction, which is how they're able to introduce Whitney Morgan and Hardtop together. Yes. And Whitney in this moment, she just goes, hey, I'm onto a story. And I was like, what story? There's been like no
Nothing's
story. She's got like a hot tip that she hasn't shared in any of this, witty exposition that's gone on so far. She's just got like a hunch about nothing. And then 2 seconds later, her camera bot comes over to her and is just like, I set up an interview. And she's like, oh, gotta go, bye. Oh,
gotta go. And just like rides her creepy camera robot off into the sunset. Yeah, very strange. We're getting a little short on time, so I want to get through the rest of this episode because they definitely get through some bizarre fight sequences that, you know, it gives Hardtop a chance to kind of like obviously overcome his fear of heights and obviously impress the little lady. But we should probably talk about just like, God damn, the awful like one-liners and stuff they throw back and forth. And we should talk about Bulletproof and whatever the hell his issue is. Because I have no clue how this guy functions on like daily life.
No, I mean, I really, like, so, long story short for this episode, all right, Hardtop and Bulletproof get captured, thrown in, like, a meat locker.
Yep, chill out.
And escape, to realize that, like, the crooks are now, they've rounded up all the loot, and they are getting ready to, they have a bag of loot, and then Rock Crusher wanted a bag,
this is the best.
A doggy bag. Full of all the sandwiches that they had.
Yep. So now you got two identical bags.
So just keep this in mind. They've got these two identical bags, all right, which is going to come into play later. So they do this whole thing where, like, when BP and Hardtop escape, they call for backup. And so the rest of the cops show up, all right, and they confront all the other, like, crooks. Like, they have, like, a whole goon squad there of, like, four or five guys that are just, like, throwaways. And so here's the thing that drove me nuts is that the cops confront these like crooks and the crooks just open fire. Yeah,
it's pretty brutal.
Just like,
it's very
just
much like a Dark Knight kind of.
Start,
yeah.
They just start shooting they just start shooting directly at the cops.
Now keep in mind, you're in a blimp. Okay. And we all know what happens when you have like open flames and sources of ignition and
right.
blimps. Everything.
Well, I mean, they fixed that problem in 2020.
Oh, that's good.
So.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, here's the thing, Baron, if you were a cop in this instance and people were like heavily firing on you, what would you do? What would your training as a police officer indicate that you do?
Well, it would definitely, I mean, for me personally, it would involve, you know, some pants shitting, but definitely a lot of like taking cover, you know, perhaps. Some returning of fire.
That is perfect.
You might live through the day. Yeah.
You live through the day. What do these cops do? They run at the crooks that are fire. They run directly into the line of fire at the crooks that are shooting at them.
Well, when you got a bulletproof vest.
No, bulletproof wasn't there. Everybody else, it was Mace and Long Arm and whatever the other stupid one was.
Doesn't matter. doesn't matter.
At that moment,
none of this matters.
At that moment, I wanted to just, I wanted to write my own ending, which this end of the this episode should have ended with a 21-gun salute in a cemetery and a bunch of crying wives.
It should have ended with all these cops dead and them trying to, like, restore order to the city by getting people who knew what the hell they were doing. I agree with you.
Exactly. Hiring terrible. A police force who actually paid attention.
But I got to tell you, so a couple things here. There's, let's see, Long Arm gets to use his cuff, I think, like, once to help connect, like, the blimp to the cop's shuttle. So that was cool, I guess. He gets to use his fancy little cuff. Bulletproof.
Finally, my arm comes in use.
Exactly. That's all he did. Then he just retired.
If you have to call it a fancy cuff, like, it's not. It's not a fancy cuff. Like, I'm sorry, bud. It's not like you blew it.
The perfect phrase there would have been, my arm comes in handy. Get it?
Man, you could have written for this show quite easily.
I did.
There's a scene where, like, so Bulletproof, I don't understand how he works and how he functions, because there's a scene where, like, after the fight sequence, he, like, so Sean, you probably remember this better than I do. We were talking about this offline, but there's a scene involving, like, explosives, and I don't understand what happens to him.
Yeah, Bullet, in order to escape the meat locker that Bulletproof and Hardtop are thrown into, Bulletproof, like, widens his chest, which breaks the ropes that are around him. It widens his cybernetic body, and it allows him to break the ropes. And then he, like, reaches into his torso and pulls out what he calls, like, I mean, because everybody's had, like, fireworks, like an M80, you know, like, explosive. Like, he pulls out what he calls, like, an M98.
I think it was 98. So by 2020,
he puts this M98 on the lock and blows it up. But, I mean, you realize, like, this man's walking around with explosives inside of his chest. Yep. Now, I know you're probably just like, oh, but he's BP. Like, he's bulletproof. Yeah, he's bulletproof, like, in the torso. Like, if like, something shot him in the chest and it caused that M98 to explode, like, internal organs, like, it's just no more spine, jerk. Like, you're dead.
And there's a point where, like, he just kind of collapses on the floor, and you think he's, like...
A bunch of people playing taps.
And you think he's, like... He is down for the count, but you think he's, like, I don't know if he's dead, I don't know if he's incapacitated. No. He's still talking and, like, giving orders. I'm making jokes from the floor. He's just laying down and can't get up for whatever
reason. He gets thrown through a window, and then he's just like, it's all over, Crusher, and then, like, falls back down to the ground.
He just lays there. He's tired. It's been a long day of crime fighting time.
The main crooks escape, and they grab the wrong bag, which has the sandwiches.
Yeah, remember those bags from before? Those identical bags? One with of dollars worth of loot and cash, and one with tens of dollars worth of sandwiches? Guess which one these idiot crooks get? Yeah. Big Boss is not happy about that. And we are not happy about this show, because it is not as good as I remember. And these guys are not happy with me, because I'm the one that suggested it. But
well, Dave, if I had a bag of sandwiches, I'd have to say it wouldn't be it wouldn't be a down note.
You want a bag of sandwiches? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
you get paid in sandwiches.
You can message Baron on Twitter at bag of sandwiches, please.
At bag of sandwiches.
I'm changing my username right
please
now.
Do. Please bag do. Bag of sandwiches is so good. Please find the picture from this episode. find the picture from this episode of Crusher just like stuffing his face in the sack of sandwiches at the end, and that's your avatar. Good stuff.
You don't think I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it.
Oh, man. What you shouldn't do is probably go back and watch the show if you have fond memories. This, like Sean mentioned last week, we're calling it the Voltron effect. We have great memories of this stuff. And then we go back, you know, 20 years later, 25 years later in some cases, and review it. And, man, it just does not hold up. Again, I think the theme song, the title sequence is awesome. The roll call is fun. That's all you need to watch. Man, do you guys have any recommendations on maybe some episodes to watch or just to avoid it altogether?
So I watched one of the other episodes that I really did enjoy was the one called The Case of the Lowest Crime, which the lowest crime is evidently selling drugs, which is interesting because this actually puts the cops and the crooks, like they team up in order to fight a drug dealer that's plaguing Empire City, that they are not – like the cops are not able to catch this – drug dealer who is named here, but Baron, listen, the name of the freaking drug dealer is Addictum. And he's passing out a drug called Crystal Twist, which looks like a It looks like a gem that, like, you hold up to your forehead. And, like, he's not even, like, being sly about it.
Did you say he was handing out Crystal Pepsi? Because I know it was...
In 1988, probably.
I wish. Would have been better. But, like, this addictum's not even, like, hiding. Like, he walks up to random people on the street and he goes, grease my palm with some cash if you'd like some Crystal Twist. And, like, he's, like, straight up just, like, put money in my hand and I'll give you drugs. And that's, like, it's so bad that, like, I was cringing and laughing at the same time. That's what this show made me do, is it made me laugh and it made me cringe. Like, yeah. Just how bad it was. Like, I loved to hate this show.
Well, if you love to hate it so much, you can actually buy both volumes of it, I think, on DVD now. We'll have links and stuff up on our website.
Or be a crook and just torrent them for free.
But then the cops will come after you.
No, they won't. You'd show them this show and they'd just be like, oh, that's justifiable. Like, trust me, this statement that I just made, that'll hold up in court.
Baron, did you get a chance to check out any other episodes? Anything you want to recommend or tell them to steer clear of?
Actually, I watched The Lowest Crime as well.
Oh, you watched that one too? Nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have to say, between the two, like The Blimp and The Lowest Crime, I mean, it wasn't as, you know, the worst thing we've watched so far.
Another ringing endorsement from Saturday Morning Cartoons.
I mean, it wasn't the worst thing we've watched so far.
On the Denver scale, where does this rank?
Okay, if one is Denver and 10 is Exo Squad,
all right.
I'd say we're kind of at like, we're like at a 4.5
where
right
the
here.
Where the hell does Botsmaster come in?
Like,
so, yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Like one.
I'll stick with that.
Okay.
Like 0.5. So, anyway.
I love this scale. This is my favorite scale.
It's a sliding scale.
On a one, this got a 0.5. Like, you went outside the range, buddy.
Good stuff.
Well, anyway. So, I mean, Jesus. I kind of thought it was a good series. Like, you know, the writing was terrible. Yep. And, like, you know, yeah, I mean, it had some, like, some really weird, just, you know, disconnected, like, ideas and thoughts and, you know, scenes. But at the same time,
logic,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, logic, exactly, you know. But at the same time, I mean, you know, kind of going back to, like, 1988, 1989 me, like, I could really see why this show was popular.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, looking back at it, it's like, yeah, now I love to hate it. But, you know, I could probably watch 10 episodes and not want to, like, kill my TV. But at the same time, it's like, I'm not going to be happy about watching those 10 episodes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well,
it's like the homework assignment that teaches you something but takes 5 hours to complete. So
that's probably a good way to describe it. If you guys happen to like the Bowser and Blitz characters, you can watch the Great Prison Break-In. That's an episode that I watched. It's a little bit down the road. If you like Mace and his weird hunting getup and the villainous Lady Nightshade and you want to see them get together and have a little bit of a woo-woo romance, Cops, then you can watch.
Okay, now.
Yeah, another episode titled Case of Mace's Romance. That's episode number 35, I think.
Oh, is that where he flips over Nightshade?
I don't think they showed that one on the...
Yeah, that's hot.
Yeah, that's not the G-rated version. I guarantee there is some fan art, some deviant art out there. For that,
I'm gonna be tumbling that.
Deshaun's
can you send me a link
guys.
To that? I need to that for research.
For research, it's a little late now since the show is over, and now the show's over.
God.
Oh Lord, let's do some plugs. Sean, I know you just had your first show, the new improv stuff going on. So why don't you tell the people about
that,
where they can see you guys?
Hey, I'll be performing next Saturday, July 19th at Source Theater in Washington, D.C. as a part of Washington Improv Theater's Binge Run. I'll be performing at 8 p.m. and you can see me perform with a group called Nox. That's N-O-X exclamation point.
Excellent.
And you can buy tickets at WashingtonImprovTheater.com.
And we'll have all that info up in the show notes on our website. Matt, do you have anything coming up you want to let the people know about?
Nothing coming up in the next couple weeks, but I do want to get those short runnings up first week of August, so take a look for those. They'll be linked from my Twitter account, which is at MattSF07.
It's actually at Bag of Sandwiches.
07.
And not too much. Is that it for you? Sorry to interrupt you there.
Yeah, that is.
Excellent. The only thing really coming up for me, in addition to hosting this podcast, I do write for the entertainment news site Collider.com. We will be heading to San Diego Comic-Con in a couple of weeks here. So if you guys are headed out that way, or if you can't make it and want to check out some of the coverage, be sure to head over to Collider.com and see all we have to offer you. We'll see if there's a Cops reunion happening. Probably not, but I can always cross my fingers.
Please, no.
If you want to hear more about the show and about Cops, you can always head over to our website. That's SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. That's morning with a U. You can also check us out on Twitter, at MorningToons. Sean's been doing a good job over at our Tumblr page. There might be some weird hentai stuff coming up there soon. It'll probably be taken down just as quick, so you got to be quick and check it out. That's at SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. let's see. Anything else we got there?
You can find me on Twitter at Sean Paul Ellis, and same on Instagram at Sean Paul Ellis.
And Matt, you gave the guys your info, but you want to give it to them one more time in case they weren't listening?
At MattSF07, potentially if it's available, at BagOfSandwiches07.
God, I hope it is so much. Bag of so Sandwiches. Good. You can find me at DrClawMD. This was our 9th episode, which means the next one, if I can do math correctly, or if I'm using Matt's scale of rating the show, the next episode is our 10th, and we're doing a little bit of a special thing. We all kind of agreed that one show we definitely want to revisit, might as well do it sooner than later, Pirates of Dark Water. Now, I'm hoping we don't have the Voltron effect on this one, because I fondly remember the show. Neujetat, you Jetatin monkey bird. It's so good. It's so good. I hope it's so good. I don't know, guys. I haven't watched it in years. But we'll see. What do you guys
think? I'm very nervous.
I did watch the opening scene this weekend.
Still good?
And it's so great. Like, it's exactly as I remember it, which means the show is just going to be in the shitter and just all wrong. So.
I really hope not. But you'll have to come back and join us, listen to us next time when we talk about it on Saturday Morning Cartoons. Thanks for listening.